Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
Well, I was on a trip recently, and I got to go to one of those Korean barbecue places. Have any of you guys ever been to one of those Korean barbecue places? They're so fun. You order a bunch of this like raw meat and they just bring it to your table and then you get to cook it right there. But I was with this group and I was visiting a friend, and then he had two more friends, and then one of them had one of their coworkers. So I was like the fourth wheel, and that coworker was like the fifth wheel. You know what I mean? But what was so cool about the experience is we're sitting there at the Korean barbecue place, and as we ate, we talked together, and it actually got really deep. We started talking about relationships, about marriage, about life. And here was this one person I had never met before, one person I didn't really know very well, another person I played a little bit of soccer with, and my friend. And it's this group of diverse people, and yet eating a meal together broke down barriers. And I'm guessing that all of you have probably had a similar experience, whether it was at a Korean barbecue place, whether it was in your home, wherever it was, eating a meal with someone does something. It breaks down barriers. It connects us. And God made us for connection, for relationship with Him and with others. And one of the best ways to connect with people is while sharing a meal. This is something that Jesus understood. And it is the subject of our time together in God's Word today as we continue our Living Sent series. Living Sent is a book by Justin Wester that our church is studying in life groups right now. The book presents an acronym using the word SENT to describe some of the practices of Jesus that we can emulate to live sent, to live as Christ's witnesses, ambassadors, and priests, to live the mission that He gave us, to obey His command, to love others and point them to Him. It's important to note that the acronym SENT is not like exhaustive. It's not telling us everything that we can do. And it's just meant to be really like practical suggestions and tips to make the idea of living sent real in our world and lives today. So the SENT acronym stands for seeing people like Jesus. That's what Pastor Dave shared with us last week. Eating with people like Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about this week. Neighbor people like Jesus. And talk with people about Jesus. So this week, we get to talk about eating with people like Jesus. And if you know me at all, you know that this is a perfect subject for me because I love to eat. I also love eating particularly with other people. And so this morning, we're going to look at one of the many passages, actually, where Jesus eats with people. Then we're going to discuss three principles for eating with people like Jesus. And finally, we're going to close with three kind of practical tips for just making it work in our everyday lives. So as we get ready to dig into God's Word together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Jesus, thank you that you came. You came and lived among us. You lived with us. You lived as one of us. And you ate and drank with people, all sorts of different people. Thank you for your example, but thank you even more for your sacrifice, for dying on the cross for our sins, and for being risen to new life. And that now by faith, we can share in that new life and we can be missionaries, living sent to the people around us. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of our hearts this morning. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, before we jump into our passage, I want you to try to fill in the following blank. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. All right, someone got... You revealed it right away, Shelley. Come on. No, all right. But there's actually three possible answers from the Bible. The Son of Man came, Luke 19:10 says, to seek and to save the lost. Mark 10:45 says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Those are maybe the two ones that come immediately to mind. And those are like kind of the why Jesus came. But as Shelley said, Luke 7:33 to 35 says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. This is Jesus talking. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. Jesus was kind of responding to some of the objections of some of the religious leaders to his ministry. And he was saying that they rejected John the Baptist's ministry as well. And John the Baptist and Jesus came doing different things and they weren't happy with either of them. And so Jesus came eating and drinking. That's an interesting thing. That's not why he came, but that's part of how he came. He came sharing meals with other people. And there's lots of different accounts in the Gospels of Jesus eating with people in different settings. We're going to look at an account from Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles or on your phones to Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. Luke 5, starting in verse 27. After this, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi, it's important that we know that Levi was also known as Matthew. So this is Jesus' disciple Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, right? Levi, or Matthew, made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Two things that Jesus said in response to the Pharisees and scribes grumbling. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These are actually two ways of saying the same thing. Jesus is condemning self-righteousness and commending humility. You can only be saved by Jesus if you know that you need to be saved. And you know what's interesting to me is you don't see in this story, or really very many other places in the gospel for that matter, you don't see the tax collectors and sinners grumbling at Jesus for calling them sick and sinful, right? It's always the self-righteous people that seem to have the biggest problem with Jesus and everyone else, for that matter. I sometimes hear Christians, and I myself am included in this, I have done this at times, bemoaning that you can't talk about sin in our culture anymore. People are so easily offended nowadays. And while I think there are times where there is truth to that idea, I think what offends people more than just talking about sin is talking about sin hypocritically or self-righteously or selectively picking the sins that we don't struggle with or that are obvious or that offend us, and yet failing to acknowledge the sin in our own lives. I think that's what offends people. In Matthew's own account of this story in Matthew 9, 9 to 13, Matthew tells us that Jesus also said to the Pharisees, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Jesus is quoting the Old Testament prophet Hosea. And really what he says is a challenge to all of us regular church attenders. What do we think is truly spiritual? Truly knowing God doesn't mean we just do certain rituals or avoid doing certain bad things. Anyone can do certain rituals. Anyone can be disciplined and not do certain things. But truly knowing God will change you from the inside out. Those who truly know God are loving and merciful. Outward acts of obedience alone don't please God. God looks on the heart. And that doesn't mean you can just say that you love people in your heart without showing it through your actions either. God wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our bodies, what we do, with all of us. And that love for him is shown best through our love for others. So I want to turn to looking at three principles for how we can eat with people like Jesus. And the first one is the one that stands out specifically in that passage we just looked at. It's radical inclusion. Jesus welcomed all. And he let all, anyone, welcome him. He went into so many different types of homes. And when I say radical inclusion, I don't mean that Jesus ignored sin. Judging between right and wrong is something that we are called by God to do. First, the sin in our own hearts and minds and lives, and also as we navigate living in, but not of, this fallen world. But being judgmental towards other people is putting ourselves in God's place. That's something that we are never called to do. When Jesus was invited to a meal, he went. He ate with all kinds of people. In fact, even among his own 12 disciples, there were fishermen, there was this former tax collector Matthew, and there was a zealot, someone who advocated for the violent overthrow of the Roman government. That was just among Jesus' 12 disciples. So I guess a way I want to approach this idea of radical inclusion is thinking about it kind of in the negative. Who have you refused, or do you refuse, or would you refuse to eat with? I think there are probably some of you who maybe refuse to eat with your own family members for whatever reason. I think there are probably those of us who might even think that, you know, if there's a certain president or former president or politician that invited me to eat with them, I wouldn't do it. Who would you refuse to eat with? Who have you refused to eat with? Refusing to eat or associate with certain people doesn't reveal your righteousness. It reveals your self-righteousness. It doesn't make you like Jesus. It's actually a radical difference from how he lived his life. I think there are two kind of underlying problems for why we struggle sometimes with radical inclusion. And I want to examine kind of those underlying ideas or attitudes. First, we have a wrong understanding of sin. Oftentimes we act like sin is contagious, as if we can like catch sin from other people. That is not how sin works. Sin is something that we all already have. It's inside us. So you don't catch it from other people, you already have it. All human beings have a sinful nature. Can people influence us? Of course. So we do have to be careful. And the Bible calls us to be careful about who and what we let influence us. But sin can't be caught just by being around someone. Second, as Dave talked about in his sermon last week, we struggle to really see people the way that Jesus sees them. We all have the selfish tendency to only think of people as they impact and affect us. Do I like this person? Does being around them make me feel good? Do they help and serve me? But the way God sees people is beloved, made in his image, infinitely valuable, worth the cost of his own son's life, worth his spirit, the third person of the Trinity indwelling them, created for eternal relationship with him and invited to repent and follow Jesus. That is how God sees people. God, please help us to see people that way. So in finishing this first point about radical inclusivity, if someone looked at your life over the last year, would they say that you are a radically inclusive person? Would they be shocked by the diversity of people that you interact with? Have you ever been accused of eating with or hanging out with sinners? Jesus was. Jesus was radically inclusive. The second principle for eating with people like Jesus is to be all there. Be fully present. And there are two elements of being all there that I want to specifically look at. One is no rush. No rush. Give it plenty of time. Something that always blows my mind that I love about Jesus when I look at his life in the Gospels is that he was completely unhurried. Like, Jesus had a very important mission, and he never lost sight of that mission. But he also never seemed to be in a hurry. It was chaotic at times. His family showed up one time because they thought he was crazy because his life was so chaotic. But yet, whenever there was a person in front of Jesus, it seems like he had all the time in the world. Like they were the most important person, the most important thing going on in his life at that moment. I admire that so much about the life of Jesus. So don't rush. The second thing is no distractions. And for us, I think this especially means technology. Put your phone on silent, or even better yet, turn it off. Don't have it on the table. Don't have it on vibrate. Some of us have smart watches. I think maybe they could also be called distraction watches. I have been in meetings with people where they're constantly looking at their watch because they just got another text message. In the middle of our conversation, in the middle of our meal, they're looking at their watch constantly. What do you think that communicates to someone about your presence with them, about their importance? Maybe consider taking off your smartwatch if it's going to be that much of a distraction. Technology is a neutral thing. It depends on how we use it or how we let it use us. But I just want to encourage you to think about when you're with people, how are you using technology? Is it helping you connect with them, or is it actually separating you from them? The third principle that I want to encourage us with that we can learn, especially from the life of Jesus, as we connect with other people and eat with them like Jesus, is to ask good questions. Get to know the other people. Go deep. If it helps, be ready to share vulnerably in an appropriate way, but try to uncover something that that person is passionate about. Don't ask yes or no questions. Ask open-ended questions. Ask how they feel, what they're excited about in life right now. Ask them how they grew up. Just ask lots of questions. Show your interest and care by really wanting to get to know them. Jesus asked so many great questions. A great question to always ask is, how can you be praying for them? And if appropriate, you can pray for them right then and there. So, the three principles from the life of Jesus are, first, radical inclusion. Second, not rushing. And then third is not rushing, no distractions, being fully present. And then the third is ask good questions. Radical inclusion, be fully there, ask good questions. But then there's this question of, how do we actually make this work in our real lives? Like, Jesus was a full-time missionary, basically, right? And we talked about full-time missionaries, but a lot of us are not full-time missionaries. You have jobs, we have families, we have other commitments, right? So we don't all just like travel around all the time and aren't rabbis where we get invited into people's houses. You know what I mean? Like, so how does this actually work? And I have three kind of tips for making it work. The first is integration over addition. In Living Sent, Justin Wester writes, don't think about adding a meal to your schedule. Rather, pick a meal you plan to eat and invite someone to join you. Take your normal everyday routine of eating and infuse it with gospel intentionality. We all have to eat, right? I know I get at least three meals a day, right? But so we're already eating. So how can you include someone in what you're already doing? It's not like you have to plan this huge, special, extravagant thing. You can just invite someone to do what you're already doing with you. The second kind of practical tip for making it work is connection over culinary theatrics. You don't have to be this amazing cook and create a 5-course meal and clean your entire house spotless. And like, that's not what you have to do. Again, in Living Sent, Wester writes, it's better to share a simple meal than to forgo an opportunity because you can't serve an extravagant one. Remember, the goal is not to impress, but to connect. The point isn't the food. It's the relationship. So particularly when our kids were in elementary school, our house was kind of like the home base for the neighborhood kids to come and hang out. And so that provided a lot of opportunities for us to feed them. One night, my wife, Michaela, had planned a meal that would only feed the four of us. It was in the crock pot. It was warming up. It was just enough food for the four of us because we weren't expecting the other kids to stay for supper that night. But our daughter, Adelie, who was about 6 years old at the time, asked if the friends could stay for supper. Michaela explained, I didn't make enough food for everybody. And our little 6-year-old daughter walks over to our fridge, opens it up, and just kind of points to the food in there like, Mom, we have plenty. Guess what? They stayed for supper. It's not about what you serve. It's about spending time with the people. The third tip I have for you about making this work in our lives is presence over perfection. It's about showing up, not showing off. When I was in seminary, one of my friend's wives was pregnant and her water broke early. So she was in the hospital for like 3 or 4 weeks, just in the hospital. They were trying to let the baby, you know, monitor that the baby was staying healthy and let the baby develop more. And so during that time, the guys from our small group would walk over to the hospital from seminary to eat lunch with her and her husband in the hospital room. And we just brought our bag lunches. There was nothing special. Some of us had coolers. Some of us literally, I think, had, you know, brown paper bags. And there were 5 of us. And we did this so often over the course of that 3 or 4 weeks that the nurses started to refer to us as the basketball team that was coming to visit her in the hospital. But it wasn't about what we were eating. It was about showing up for our friends and just letting them know we cared. Eating a simple meal with them in the hospital room. That simple act had an impact. So, River Valley, let's eat with people like Jesus did. Let's be radically inclusive, remembering that sin is not contagious and that all people have been made in God's image and are loved by him, and he wants them to have a relationship with him and others. When we're with people, let's be all there, fully present, not letting time or technology get in the way or distract us from loving them fully. And let's ask good questions to really seek to connect with and get to know others. To make it work, remember that you can integrate eating with others into what you're already doing, your normal everyday life. You don't have to add something new. It's not about connection. It's not about culinary theatrics and showing off. It's just about connecting with other people. And remember, it's simply about showing up, not showing off. So I want to close this morning by challenging you to intentionally eat at least one time this week with one other person or group of people outside of what's normal for you. Who can you bless? Ask the Holy Spirit right now. Who is someone that he's putting on your heart in your life? Students, this could be asking someone at school who often sits alone or who you don't normally eat with if you can sit with them or if they want to sit with you. Adults, this could be asking a coworker to go out for lunch one day or inviting a neighbor over for coffee. Families, this could mean inviting a family from your neighborhood over for dinner. Those are just a few suggestions for how we could integrate this into our lives. But how can we eat with people like Jesus did? Let's pray. Jesus, please give us your eyes to see people like you did. Give us the courage and the intentionality to eat with people like you did, Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would be laying on people's hearts and minds someone or some group of people that maybe you've been nudging them about for a while, or maybe you have someone new for them to meet this week. But God, open our eyes to the people around us. Help us to live sent. Thank you that we can use food to do it, that we can enjoy eating with others as a way to connect. I pray that your Spirit would lead us in those conversations, that we would be sensitive and open and responsive to what you want to speak. Help us to listen well. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to be fully present. Help us to be radically inclusive. If someone invites us, to be glad for the invitation, to say yes as much as we can. Thank you so much, God, that you love us, that you are with us and for us. Thank you that you have given us a mission, that we get to be your witnesses and ambassadors and priests in this world. So help us to live sent this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.